Support for the Closing Market Report podcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments at adm.com/farmerview.
From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 11th day of June, 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Stephen Platt will be along to look at the agricultural energy markets with us. We'll discuss the weather forecast with Don Day of Day Weather. And along the way, we'll hear from Daryl Good, ag economist at the U of I, and the state statisticians in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota. Those are the top five corn-growing states in the nation. And it all happens during this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Well, let's check out the numbers as they settled up in Chicago. On this Tuesday afternoon, futures in the soft red winter wheat at $6.96¾ for settlement price up 7 cents. September at $7.05, up 6. From the hard red in Kansas City, the July futures at $7.30, up 4 cents for the afternoon. July corn at $6.59½, 9½ cents higher. September at $5.83½, up 6¼. And December futures for the corn pit at $5.50¾, up 4¾. March futures $5.61½, 5 cents higher, and the May up a nickel at $5.68¾ for next year in the corn. From soybeans, July futures $15.40½, the contract settled 28¾ higher. August at $14.50¾, up 15 cents, and September at $13.65¾, 9¼ higher. November beans at $13.27 for the new crop, up 8 cents. January up 8¼ at $13.34 on the settlement price, and the March soybeans at $13.33¾, 10¾ higher. May of next year at $13.29½, up 9¾ on the day. Bean meal futures at $4.63.40 in the July, up $15.10. Bean oil at $48.04. That was 3 cents lower on the afternoon. Live cattle futures for the day finished the June contract at $120.32½, up $1.12½, and the August at $119.70, $1.27½ higher. August feeders at $144.67½, or $1.25 higher, and the September's at $146.80, up $1.25. July lean hogs at $99.15, up $1.25. This is Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil trading $95.30 a barrel. That's down 47 cents on the afternoon. RBOB gasoline, or the wholesale price, at $2.82¾, up 2½, or rather down 2½ cents. And ethanol trading at $2.43¾, down 4 cents on the day. The difference between the two has widened again this afternoon and is now at 38¾¢. Natural gas at $3.72¢, down 7¢. And diesel fuel trading at $2.85¢, 2¢ lower in New York. The gold futures finished at $1,377.10 a troy ounce, down $9.20, and the U.S. dollar is trading at 81.11. That's down 0.53 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. We should see a 20% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms, mostly sunny otherwise, a high of 88 degrees on a south-southwest wind at 11 to 13. That'll gust all the way to 17 today. And then this evening, a 30% chance of rainfall in the area. And we'll see that come between 8 p.m. and 2 a.m. for the most part. Mostly cloudy, a low of 68. And tomorrow, a slight chance of showers, a few thunderstorms before 8 in the morning Central Time, a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 in the afternoon, and partly sunny. A high tomorrow of 92 degrees. Heat index values as high as 100. On a southwest wind at 8 to 14, gusting all the way to 18. Wednesday night showers and thunderstorms are likely mainly between 8 and 2, mostly cloudy and a low of 66. And Thursday, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Those will come before 8 in the morning, mostly sunny otherwise, a high near 79. on a north wind at 15 miles an hour, and that'll gust all the way to 20. And then Thursday night, mostly clear and a low of 59. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour and talk with Don Day of Day Weather. You're listening to the June 11 edition of the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's check now what's been happening in the futures markets. On the phone line with us is Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. It was a turnaround Tuesday.
It was a turnaround Tuesday. Yesterday was ugly. Today was better. What happened?
Well, I think that, yesterday we did overdo the downside a little bit with some enthusiasm of the planning that happened over the weekend because of the lot less rain in a lot of the wet areas, and we did make some pretty good progress. And I think, 95% planted, but it's time to be done planting corn. Equated back to realizing there was probably going to be close to 3 million acres of corn not planted today, and also along the beans in a lot of areas is there was still about 22 million acres of beans that were to plant after Sunday yet to get done. So I think that's sort of come into things. We're going to have the WASDE report tomorrow, and, they're looking for a few adjustments to the production for this next year.
What do you suppose the trade thinks will happen and which numbers will change?
Well, I think, a lot of the news wires are saying they think maybe they'll cut the yield on the corn 1 to 2 bushels and probably maybe a couple million acres along those lines. They don't know for sure. They don't think they'll maybe change the numbers on the beans is what I keep seeing. But I think we all know that this late planted beans will cut back on the yield per acre. But how many acres will we get planted that are left out there to be planted now? That's the big question.
Now, on the corn, it is, I suppose, in part and parcel how much is raised, but it also depends on consumption. How much of a cut do you suppose we can take and still meet consumption?
Well, we thought that the government was being a little overambitious with the amount of demand that they'd scheduled in their last report. And I imagine if they cut back on yield that we'll maybe see a little bit of cutback in some of the exports that they projected and also maybe some of the feed and residual that they projected in that report to not make it quite as big. But, Michael Cordonnier came out and he said about a 13.2 billion crop is what he's predicting now. Our last record crop was 13.1 in 2009, so that's still a new record.
It's a new record on a smaller crop, and we could be down. What, did he give an acreage figure that he was off, 3 or 4 million?
I think he was off about 3.5 million. So, like I say, that's the one thing we are looking at, and that probably could be correct. But I'll tell you what, a lot depends on weather pollination time as far as this corn crop goes.
Yeah, so as you look forward and you talk to meteorologists, I know we're out into the middle of July, a month away, maybe a bit more than that at this time. Any concerns you have about heat building at all, or do we look pretty
good? None at this point in time. I mean, there are some that would like to start talking about that, but I think as Ed Kieser used to tell us, that far out, it's pretty hard to say something unusual is going to happen.
It is indeed really terrible to try to figure out what's going to happen in the weather next week, as well as certainly further out than that. What do you see for end users on old crop at this time? Are they hunting corn and soybeans?
Basically, I think that 9 out of 10 farmers are busy in the field, either trying to finish planting the last they have, putting on hydrous or spraying some of their crops. And we're hearing from most all of our corn buyers that grain buyers, that it's pretty much non-existent calls from farmers right now. So, they're struggling a little bit. They'd like to see a little bit move. But, if we get that little rain shower you talked about might come in tomorrow night and the markets are up like this, we might see a little bit of corn move in some areas.
Hey, speaking of Ed, he said to say hi to you. I saw him. He was in Champaign yesterday very shortly during the middle of the day, he and the family. So he said to tell you hi, and thanks for bringing him up today. We miss Ed here, and we have him on the air during the winter months for Commodity Week, taking a look at what's happening in the world of agriculture weather in the Southern Hemisphere. He does a great job.
Yeah, he does, and as always, we miss Ed, and we wish him the best in whatever he's doing now.
Hey, Wayne, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Yesterday, USDA NAS released the weekly crop progress report. It shows as of the 9th day of June, 82% of the winter wheat has headed. That compares to 86% on the rolling 5-year average. 5% of that crop has been harvested compared to 16% on the last 5 years. And it is now said to be in 53% good or excellent condition. That's a big uptick from the previous week of just 32%. NAS also reported that 95% of the corn crop has been planted around the nation. That's nearly equal to the 5-year average of 98%. 85% of that crop has emerged compared to 92%. And it now stands in 66% good to excellent condition, 3 percentage points better than the previous week. 71% of the soybeans have been planted. The rolling 5-year average is 84%. 48% of that crop has emerged. That compares to the rolling 5-year average. Average of 67%. No conditions report just yet for the soybeans. Now here are updates from the 5 top corn producing states in the nation.
This is Greg Tayson, state statistician for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa field office with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending June 9th, 2013. Another wet week limited the amount of field work Iowa farmers could get done since fields already saturated from previous week's rainfall did not dry enough between storms for farmers to get caught up on planting crops. Even though fields were not as dry as farmers would have liked, they were able to get 4% of the corn crop and 16% of their intended soybean acreage planted during the week. Corn planting now stands at 92% complete, 7 percentage points behind the 5-year average, and 81% of the crop has emerged, 15 points behind normal, with 52% of the crop rated in good or excellent condition. Soybean planting at 60% complete and emergence at 39% continued to progress at the slowest pace since 1993. Average temperatures for the week were 6.1 degrees below normal, and the average precipitation was slightly over an inch, just below the weekly normal. Rainfall amounts were mostly below average in the southeast portions of the state and above normal in the northwest. Topsoil moisture levels continued to be rated 100% adequate to surplus, and subsoil moisture levels were rated 98% adequate to surplus, with the 38% of subsoil in the surplus category the highest surplus rating since August 2010. This is Greg Tayson reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. I am reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending Sunday, June 9th. Many producers were able to complete some field work in the second half of the week. Activities included replanting corn and soybeans, side dressing nitrogen, spraying, and haying. Overall, there were 3.4 days suitable for field work. Topsoil moisture is now rated 64% adequate and 36% surplus. Subsoil moisture is 1% short, 71% adequate, and 28% surplus. Corn planting reached 96% complete, and corn emerged is now 89%. The average height of corn plants around the state is 10 inches, compared to 28 inches 1 year ago, and 15 inches for the 5-year average. The condition of the crop is rated as 13% in the very poor and poor categories, 29% is fair, and 58% is in the good and excellent categories. Soybean planting advanced to 62% complete, compared to 99% 1 year ago and 80% normally. 43% of the crop has emerged compared to 63% normally. Sorghum planting is at 58%, ahead of the 5-year average of 46%. 39% of the winter wheat crop is turning yellow compared to 58% normally, and the condition of the wheat crop was rated as 4% poor, 28% fair, 57% good, and 11% excellent. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Nick Streff with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln. Drier conditions allowed producers time to accomplish field work, ranging from planting to baling hay and applying chemicals. Temperatures range from 2 to 8 degrees below normal across the state. Topsoil moisture supply is rated 73% adequate to surplus. Corn was 91% emerged. Soybean planting is nearly complete, with 94% planted and 71% emerged. Wheat jointed was 95%, while headed was at 61%. The first fields of wheat are turning color, with southern counties expecting to begin harvest the first week of July. This is Nick Streff with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Dan Loftus, State Statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with a weekly crop weather report for the week ending June 9, 2013. Wet conditions in Minnesota continued to hamper field work for the week. Statewide average temperatures were 6.6 degrees below normal. The Central District showed greatest deviation from normal temperatures at 8.1 degrees below normal. Corn planting only advanced 3 percentage points to reach 90%. That remains behind last year's 100% and the five-year average of 99%. Corn emergence increased 13 percentage points to 78%. That remains behind last year's 100% and the average of 95%. The statewide average corn height was 3 inches tall. That compares to 13 inches last year and the average of 7 inches. Corn condition decreased to 2% very poor, 6% poor, 37% fair, 50% good, and 5% excellent. Despite the wet conditions, soybean planting advanced 17 percentage points to reach 72% planted. That's behind last year's 99% and the average of 95%. Soybean emergence also moved along to reach 38% emerged. That compares with last week's 18%. The 38% emerged compares to last year's 92% and the average of 78%. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Hello, this is Andy Higgins with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS, and this is the Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending June 9th. Total precipitation from Monday, June 3rd through Sunday, June 9th, ranged from 0 to 88 one-hundredths of an inch, with the heaviest amounts falling on some of the southern counties, which put planting even further behind. Cool, dry days across the central and northern districts allowed farmers to resume field work as soils dried out from the previous week's heavy rainfall. Many operations were busy planting or replanting soybeans, side dressing corn, and spraying post-emergence herbicides. 98% of the intended corn acreage has been planted at this time, compared with 100% last year and 95% for the five-year average. Planting is nearly finished in the north and central areas and is 91% complete in the southern districts. Approximately 90% of the corn acreage has emerged at this point. 87% of the intended soybean acreage has been planted, compared with 99% last year and 79% for the five-year average. By area, 96% of the soybean acreage has been planted in the north, 92% in the central region, and only 60% in the south. And about 70% of the soybean acreage has emerged at this time. 95% of the winter wheat acreage is headed, compared with 100% last year and 98% for the five-year average. Winter wheat condition is rated 74% good to excellent, compared with 57% last year. The winter wheat crop is starting to mature in some of the southern counties and will be ready for harvest within the next few weeks. This is Andy Higgins reporting.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of the Crop Progress Report. Hey, don't forget that tomorrow, if you happen to be in the area and can listen to our home station, that's WILL at 1220, we'll have a special update of the WASDE report release. Dave Dickey, your director of ag programming, will be on hand for that. As a prelude to that release, Darrell Good wrote this week in the Weekly Outlook that it's quite possible the size of this year's corn crop could be substantially reduced and still meet expected consumption. I'll have more in a moment.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The corn market is confused about the likely size of this fall's harvest. Analysts are unsure how many acres will be planted, and even more so, given the wet late start to the season, how many bushels of corn those acres will yield. University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good says the June 28 USDA planted acreage report isn't likely to help the market come to grips with either of these issues. The survey for the report is done during the first 2 weeks of June, and Good thinks many will view the release as more of an update to the planting intentions report released in March rather than an actual planted acreage figure.
There's also a wide range of yield expectations for the upcoming crop. The variation stems from the difficulty of assessing the likely impact of the combination of late planting, flooding, and replanting in some areas, and timely planting and favorable growing conditions in other areas. Most appear to expect an average U.S. yield below trend value.
Well, given all this indecision, Darrell Good chooses to evaluate the market from a different perspective. The question, he says, is how much corn is needed to meet expected consumption. He admits a large number of acreage, yield, consumption, and price scenarios are still possible.
Importantly, there is room for a much smaller crop than the early prospects of 14 billion bushels before rationing would be required during the upcoming marketing year. A crop of 13 billion bushels would be sufficient to meet expected needs at current new crop price levels. If harvested acreage is near 85.5 million acres, or 4 million below the early forecast, a crop of that size would require an average yield of 152 bushels, about 10 bushels below trend value.
Again, USDA will release the crop acreage report June 28th, the next crop production report, estimating the actual size of the U.S. corn crop, is due in August. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com. Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural energy markets is Stephen Platt. He's at Archer Financial Services. That's in Chicago. Thanks so much, Stephen, for being with us this afternoon. What are the things you've been watching over the last month or so?
Well, there's a lot of factors that have affected this market in terms of the crude and product markets, in terms of macro variables such as the dollar, Japan, interest rates even moving higher. All those factors have come to bear on the market in terms of macro influences. And I think that uncertainty has kept some people sidelined in terms of seeing much follow through in the complex. Certainly the supply-demand situation is still somewhat burdensome. I think we're still generally looking at the stock situation looking like we're going to be looking at a build of about 1 million barrels per day here during the next few months, and that should weigh on values overall.
I watch the RBOB to ethanol spread on a fairly regular basis, and it get really, really narrow, down to about 10 cents within the last month or so, back out to 38, 40 cents at this point. It's been as wide as 60 in the last year or more. Does that make much of a difference in the way you view the marketplace, or is it just something that happens for the oil industry to watch?
Well, one thing that you've seen in terms of the gasoline is the regionality factor. The Midwest, as everyone knows who lives out here, has been really afflicted by very high retail prices of gasoline. And that, I think, has certainly softened somewhat the blow to maybe ethanol, so that the spreads probably are somewhat wide. That factor, in terms of the gasoline, refineries have been basically seeing very low rates of operation, and I think that has helped the gasoline to a large degree.
Stephen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Stephen Platt is with Archer Financial Services. He is in Chicago, Illinois. Back in a couple of minutes with the agricultural weather.
It's National German Chocolate Day. It's also Feast Day of St. Barnabas, the patron saint of farmers. On this day in agricultural history in 1742, Benjamin Franklin invented the Franklin stove. The wood fuel burns on an iron surface over a cold air duct, which heats air, which then passes through baffles in the back wall. The heated air is released through vents on each side of the stove. He did not patent the stove so that others could freely copy the design. In 1842, Carl Paul Gottfried Lind was born. A German engineer, he invented mechanical refrigeration. He developed the technology so that beer could be brewed year-round. In 1939, President Franklin D. Roosevelt served hot dogs to King George VI and Queen Elizabeth of England during their visit to the U.S. It was the first time they had tried this American treat. And in 1947, sugar rationing ended in the U.S., at least for home use. In a surprise move, then USDA Secretary Clinton P. Anderson ended household and institutional sugar rationing. By the way, during World War II, supplies of sugar were meager. Consumers shifted to substitutes like honey, molasses, saccharin, and corn syrup. How meager were the supplies? Well, some restaurant patrons took home the sugar bowls on their tables. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the closing market report on this Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming is with us to look at the weather forecast. Don, thanks for taking the time with us. In the western part of the nation, there's been some really interesting sorts of weather. I think it's called a heat... what is it called? Where there's a heat burst. Is that right?
Well, we're starting to build some summertime heat, especially in the central... Southern Rockies, desert southwest, the far western southern plains, which you should start to see this time of year. Trick is will some of this heat and drier weather be able to expand into areas of the Midwest and the Corn Belt, which could use some summertime heat?
And do you think it will?
It will, but we're probably still not looking at anything that I would call hot or swinging the pendulum in a completely opposite direction to where we've been so far in the month of June, but the trend is warmer. Temperatures overall over the next week are going to be averaging a lot closer to normal. So we're going to see temperatures go up. We're not necessarily going to be completely dry. We've got a pattern that's going to hold on for at least another week to 10 days that will continue to send systems from the Pacific Northwest through the Northern Plains and then through the Midwest. So this is going to be a pattern where these small systems will keep frequent periods of thunderstorm activity moving through.
Will this be a pattern that keeps us in a wetter than normal position?
Well, it certainly looks that way. I don't see it as wet as maybe the last couple of weeks, but for anybody looking for 4, 5, 6 days where we'll go rain-free, doesn't look like that'll happen. It looks like about every 2 or 3 days, some systems will be moving on through producing showers and thunderstorms. With the temperatures getting warmer, hopefully that will help some folks along, but we'll still be having these precipitation chances.
In yesterday afternoon's USDA NAST reports on the weekly crop progress, it showed that the wheat was in much better condition than it was the previous week by a large jump. I suppose that had to do with the rainfall that came across the Great Plains and parts of the Southwest. What does their condition look like for the coming week?
Well, similar, although some of the heat and dryness that has developed out west will affect some of those wheat areas, although I think that's mostly in the short term. It does look a little cooler, looks more like some precipitation, especially early to the middle of next week in some of the wheat areas.
We always take a look around the globe. Can you start with China, please?
Well, as we go over and take a look at Eastern Asia, precipitation-wise, looks drier, at least when we look in the short term. Next week, see some rain chances, but right now, overall, the trend, despite wet weather next week, at least for the next 5 to 7 days, eastern areas of Asia, most of China's growing areas, looking at warmer, drier conditions.
This morning, I received a press release from DuPont Pioneer Hybrids that they were opening a seed plant, corn hybrids and other types of seeds, in the Poltava area of Ukraine. That's closer to Russia, but reminded me that they do grow quite a bit of corn and a lot of wheat in that area. What do you see for the eastern part of Europe?
Well, not bad. In terms of what's coming, I would say favorable conditions for growing. When it comes to precipitation, and temperatures are going to be warm but not excessively hot. Many areas of Europe have had a very cool spring and a very cool June so far, but it looks warmer and it looks like just about the right amount of precipitation, at least in the week ahead for those areas.
That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report for a Tuesday afternoon. You have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.